Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
This week, lots of news, lots of stuff grinding my gears, as the new phrase seems to be. Feedback from last week was good as well. A couple of people sending me messages saying that we did a good job of taking down the week's news.
Yeah, I had a couple of positive messages as well, so that was really good.
Was that on Facebook, was it?
Yeah, a couple came through there.
Yeah, I wish people would use the blog a bit more. What do you reckon on that, Steve? Leaving some messages on there so that everybody can see them.
What? Use Stabler.tv, John?
You're right. If you go to Stabler.tv, you'll find our blog there.
Was that Stabler.tv?
It is. And also, you can follow us on Twitter.
At ThinkRant.
There you go. We've pimped the messages in the most terrible fashion that we've done so far. Yes. So this week I'm going to open up with okay. A little story about what you call a miracle cure, perhaps, you may call it.
Okay, sounds good.
A gentleman in New Zealand, he was caught with swine flu.
Okay.
And obviously, swine flu is a killer in some cases. And it was certainly looking that way with this gentleman. In fact, it got to the situation where he was in bed and the doctors had written him off. And so they were pretty much saying, right, he's in intensive care. We don't think he's going to
Let's give him
survive.
his last rites.
Pretty much, yeah. The relatives of the guy, however, thought that the doctors hadn't done enough, so they actually went and hired a lawyer, demanding that they try high doses of vitamin C on him.
Okay.
Okay, now. First of all, I'll just give you a bit of background. Vitamin C, a lot of people consider it to be some kind of wonder drug because a lot of people are using it. You have a cold,
Well, it's
say.
using cold remedies, isn't it? We know
Yeah.
that because it is supposed to help you recover when you have a cold.
Well, you see, I used to think that as well. However, apparently, the most of the scientific research on vitamin C is inconclusive. In fact, there's been quite a high number of recent studies done on vitamin C, and the few that showed any change, showed that it was effective, they're the ones that people grab hold of and say, look, see, there's scientific studies to say that it works, but at the same time, they're ignoring
The raft of.
the bulk of all the other research, which says it's absolute rubbish. And obviously the people that are positively evangelical about vitamin C are the people selling it, and they're the ones that are pointing
Obviously,
to
yeah.
the research, okay? But there's a lot of other people that just think that vitamin C is this wonderful thing that can cure everything. And it seems to me that these relatives were them. Now, they gave him this very large dose of vitamin C.
Okay, so I presume then the courts agreed with them and.
Yeah, basically the doctors were forced to administer this vitamin C. It was a very large dose, in fact almost near a fatal amount,
I was going to say,
because
I thought a large dose of vitamin C was actually
it
bad for you
is.
anyway.
It is, So the doctors thought they were probably going to kill him with it. Finish him off in effect.
Yeah.
But amazingly the guy recovered.
Okay.
Okay, so obviously now this is helping out the pro vitamin C lobby no
In
end.
your face, all you anti-vitamin C reporter.
Yeah, all you scientists who think it's ineffective, here's an anecdote to you and the
What do
science.
you know?
Yeah, so the scientists are all probably going, yes, congratulations, you got an anecdote. Why don't you go and do a clinical trial? So, that's what it was. It was another case of homeopathy again, that kind of thing. It's people saying we've got an instance where it's worked, therefore it must work.
I mean, sure, it's anecdotal, but what was the doctor's take on it?
Yeah, but it's swine flu. People have contracted swine flu, and people have survived swine flu.
No, absolutely, I don't deny that at all. And people have been very ill with swine flu and recovered from it. I absolutely appreciate that. But the doctors were fairly certain we're talking,
Well, I mean, if the doctors.
time was almost up. So, what is there anything about their opinions on it? Do they say,
Not in the
okay,
story,
maybe
no.
the
Not in the story, because the
vitamin C does
source.
work?
Yeah, I mean, the doctors, I would imagine, would just say, well, okay, So he had some vitamin C and then he got better. But that's not conclusive, as we know.
No, we've had that argument before. So, but I guess, what it does show is it just shows the need for more research into that area, I guess.
As vitamin C as a cure for swine flu.
Well, just as a cure for.
Stuff in
Well,
general.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a cure, but I would say it's something which enables the body to cure itself, possibly, maybe.
Well,
I'm not saying it's like a cure-all, but I'm just maybe saying, it's been used for many, many years, hasn't it, in treatment of cold and flu, so maybe there is something in it.
but they've, well, at least in regards to cold and flu, which is what it's usually been touted as, effective for. All of the research, not sorry, not all of the research, but the bulk of the research that's looked at it has said it's ineffective. So are you saying that they should do some more research in,
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Well, look, it's a nice coincidence, possibly, that vitamin C has helped aid this cure this man, or perhaps actually it did. Surely that's worth further research.
Okay. But how much research do you do? When do you decide to stop researching it? Because all of the everything's telling you that it doesn't work.
But then you've got the anecdotal stuff, which says it does. So I guess,
Yeah, but anecdote isn't evidence, is it?
No, but that's why you do some more research.
No. Yeah, I agree. But what I mean is, well, so we're gonna
I
say
mean,
we.
science isn't infallible, John. People do make mistakes.
Yeah, I know that, and it's usually science that finds out that they made the mistake,
Well,
not other
exactly, and
people.
that's not what I'm disputing. But what I'm saying is that I would say that if this vitamin C has been used in this particular case, maybe it's something to do with the dosage. Maybe in the past, in the trials which have been done, the dosage was smaller, it was less, didn't have a conclusive impact. Maybe that's what it is. You need a high
Okay.
impact of it.
So if they went and did a study on, so they say call it the effect of vitamin C on people nearly dying of swine flu.
Well, no, that's the extreme case, isn't it? They don't have to be nearly dying of swine flu. They may just have flu. They may have a cold.
Okay. Yeah, but they've already done research on cold.
Yeah, but swine flu is still a form of influenza.
Yeah.
And they've done research on that, which says it doesn't work. But then this would suggest that possibly it does.
Yeah, no, that and yeah, but that's where I think that's what I've got issue with is I would say there's been a correlation, and we've already
Exactly, so
explored
that
that
correlation,
correl.
and what I'm saying is that correlation deserves further research.
Right, okay, but that's what I mean. So yeah, but you're saying in this instance of swine flu, because they've already done lots of research on colds, and that was inconclusive.
Well, a cold is a different disease to flu anyway.
Right.
So, that may be quite possibly the case.
Okay, so but that's what I just want to clarify is you think that they should do research with vitamin C in relation to swine flu,
Swine flu and influenza in general, I guess.
just not, more research on bloody colds.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's all I wanted to know. Okay.
Cool. Maybe, just to throw this into the ring, maybe they prayed for him.
That's my point. They might have prayed for him. God might have made him better. Do you know what I mean? But. They're ignoring that and thinking it's vitamin C, and I think that's wrong. They're not giving God any kudos whatsoever. So, I'd be really upset.
John, you cynic.
I got another story.
Yeah,
This
that's
one's
good because I haven't.
yeah, you have. This story is this is quite a light-hearted one, but it's what I call an example of poor reporting. In so much that something's been reported as fact when.
Hang on, I'm going to try and read your mind here. Hang on now. Reporting something as fact when it's not, it's got to be from the Daily Mail.
You're correct. I mean, you
It's gotta be.
could have said the Express, the Sun, the Star, the Mirror, but you got it bang on. It was you're correct. It's in the Mail. The headline is this: The Human Magnet. Mother has amazing power to make metal stick to her body, and then in brackets, and she also sets off car alarms. Now, what's the fact that, what she got her ASBO for? I can't see what that's got to do with magnetic powers. So, now this story was includes a picture. Okay, now. I don't, can you see it from over there, right? Can you
Yeah,
see
I
this
can.
woman?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right, okay, so now let me just describe what she's got set to her. She's got something like, well, it looks like a lid off a tin. Okay.
Yeah.
She's got a hair clip on there, £2 coin, pound coin, 10p, 20p, 2 pence, a key, and it looks like a kind of like an Allen key or something like that. Okay. So, is there anything in that picture that strikes you as slightly odd in relation to her magnetic powers?
Let me see. Apart from the fact that a lot of those things don't have magnetic properties, then no, nothing at all, really.
Correct. It would appear that she has a magnetic ability that applies to non-ferrous metals as well.
Magnetical.
So, I mean, I
So what would
don't.
that be? I mean, that's clearly not magnetism, is it?
It's not. It must be an extra force in this universe that nobody else has actually ever discovered until now, you know? So, now, there is
I
another.
reckon she just licked them and stuck them on.
Well. There is another theory, which seems a lot more plausible than a complete throwing out of the laws of physics, and that's called the sweaty woman theory, where this woman is just actually quite sweaty.
Yeah. I guess that's probably more where I'd be coming from, to be honest with
Yeah, you go with the more plausible one rather than the.
you. Rather than the human magnet.
Yeah. Now, apart from this mentioning of the car alarms, there doesn't seem to be another mention of it. But seriously, I mean, why would you carry such a stupid story in your paper? You know, apart from if you wanted to mock.
Because you've got to fill column inches somehow. You know, do you expect any more from the Daily Fail? Really, honestly.
No, I guess not. But you know, I just thought I'd get that one out there because it just I saw the
Because it's just
story.
ridiculous,
Yeah, I
basically,
mean,
isn't it?
I came across that story and I didn't even follow a link to it from the usual sources saying go and look at this rubbish. I just came across it on my own, and I was just like going, do people seriously buy this crap? You know, she's gonna be walking down the street and people are gonna be throwing coins at her
I was gonna say,
instead,
can you imagine
pelting her.
that? Just if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Exactly. So that was a light-hearted story, but you know, posing for the photo, yeah, you're kind of just announcing to the world, look, please send me deodorant. I know, maybe I'm being a bit harsh there. So
Maybe you are being a bit harsh, but it's likely, to be honest with you.
are you gonna give us a little story
Well,
now?
I've got one which is interesting because it's a technology one, so I think you'll probably already be aware of it, and it might be down your street. Which is the story that the co-founder of Microsoft, Paul Allen, is suing several other large high-tech companies for infringing patents held by another firm that he founded in the 90s, not Microsoft. So basically, he's suing Apple, Yahoo, Facebook, Google, and eBay. And several of the smaller films for an awful lot of money for patent infringements. Now, I guess my issue with it, well, not issue with this, is that at the moment it just seems to be a lot of he said, she said going on in the technology world, and it's become, well, the quote here, which I think sums it up really, which is innovation, not litigation, is the way to bring to market the kinds of products and services that benefit people around the world. And I think that's absolutely right. But at the moment, you know, Nokia and Apple are arguing. You know, HTC and somebody else are arguing. It just seems to be that rather than focusing on, you know, the creation of good technology, they're just lining their lawyers' pockets.
Yeah, and it's a very difficult subject area because I think about it and it's kind of hard to find a middle ground, you know. Obviously, if someone comes up with a great idea, you know, they spend a lot of time developing it, you know, creating something, you know, I think, you know, their rights as a creator should be, you know, protected. You know, we can't just have
Well,
them
intellectual
doing all the
property should be
work.
protected, absolutely.
Yeah, and then
I
someone comes along
completely
and
agree
just
with that.
nicks all their work, you know. But at the same time, also, there seems to be a lot of frivolous patents out there, stuff that's obvious.
Well, you know, I'll read out this paragraph, which it says the four patents concerned essentially involve using web browsers to find information, letting users know when items of interest appear, and enabling adverts, stock quotes, news updates, or video images to pop up on a computer screen while the user is engaged in another activity. So, to me, they don't particularly sound like groundbreaking things.
No, I mean
They're the type of thing which I think, you know, probably anybody could have come up with, really. who uses the internet. They're not.
Yeah, they're effectively software patents, aren't they,
Yeah.
really? And I got a big thing. I'm not a fan of software patents because they're always obvious things, usually. And they're things that we all use. We have to use software to access things.
Yeah.
And it seems to inhibit, you know, you got these things like people develop a new video codec. And, you know, pretty quickly it becomes, you know, the main codec or whatever. Things like Flash on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you're kind of getting locked down to a platform there. But as I said, you know, I'm torn between the rights of people like Adobe who make Flash, you know, to protect their investment.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the effect that, you know, whatever that kind of protection has on the end user.
Yeah.
As an Apple user yourself, you know, not I don't want to, you know, just score points against Apple, but they do embrace the digital rights management, you know, and they
yes.
do lock down their devices, so a lot of consumers don't have the flexibility that they could have on similar other devices.
Oh yeah, you know, there's a lot to be said for open source.
Yeah.
I agree with you there, but you know, that's the decision which they make.
Of course, definitely. It's their choice.
Their products. But, you know, you would hope then that sort of digital rights management would actually protect them and maybe stop some of these sort of frivolous suits from coming out, really. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, it just seems to me that we've got a guy here who is incredibly wealthy, absolutely massively wealthy, $31.5 billion personal fortune, which admittedly has recently, you know, pledged to give most of that away to charity.
He's one of those nice millionaires, yeah.
Absolutely, which is brilliant. But, you know, does he really need any more?
Well, I don't know. What if he said to you, Steve, I got to pursue these patents so I can generate more money to come give it to charity. Would that make you feel any better?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, let's be fair. You know, Microsoft is hardly squeaky clean in such a...
No, definitely not. No, for sure. You know, as I said, it's all about them making money, which I think is fair enough. But at the same time, I don't like seeing the consumer getting a raw deal, you know, with technology that limits the freedoms to do with their gadgets, and whatever they buy, their content, what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could talk about, you know, music piracy and video piracy and things like that, because that's quite a similar
thing.
But
that's a different matter, because they fund terrorism.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, because pirates, you know, if I was, like, a video pirate, I'd just, like, make some cash, go down the pub and have a few beers. But apparently these pirates, I don't know, they end up getting radicalized somehow and, you know, handing all their money over to Osama bin Laden or something.
Absolutely, become jihadists or or white extremists or something like that.
Yeah.
So
you gotta, you know, don't fund terrorism, kids.
Don't fund terrorism, no.
And drugs fund terrorism. Everything that we don't like as a society funds terrorism.
Yes, it does.
Okay, here's one for you. We've done similar stories before. Liam Fox.
Yep.
Defends call for a ban of the new Medal of Honor game.
Yes, I've seen that.
Do you know anything about this new Medal of Honor game?
Yeah, it's... Because I'm just trying to remember the story now. Because I did read it right at the start of last week, I think it was. Basically, it's set in Afghanistan, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you
that's
can
right,
play
yeah.
the Taliban.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what he's objecting to.
Right. So, basically, because you get to do stuff in a game which he doesn't approve of, he thinks that we should ban it.
I've got to disagree with him on it, really. Absolutely wholeheartedly, because let's face it, we've had games from board games to computer games over the last 60 years where you could play the Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference?
No. I think his point is, because it's so recent, you know, you seem... You know.
I can partly understand his point that, you know, this maybe it's not appropriate for, you know, kids to be going out acting as a Taliban shooting at British soldiers.
But yeah, but kids shouldn't be playing this game because it's
well,
race
exactly,
18.
Which I totally agree with you. But that's the point, isn't it? Is that it's not British soldiers in the game anyway.
No.
Nothing marks them out as being British. And as you said, and as we said before, on the last release, I think it was Grand Theft Auto or something, wasn't it?
Grand Theft Auto, they did one,
I think it was. It's an age-rated game. Why are kids playing it?
And the funny thing is, I know kids do play these games regardless of the ratings.
You'd
but
be
that's,
naive
that's,
to say not, wouldn't you?
You know, that's a parental responsibility there. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
But there's kids playing it, and 99.9% of these kids, they know it's a game. They know it's make-believe. So you're just in this ridiculous thing where it seems to me that most kids know know the difference between reality and make-believe, but politicians don't. You know, that's how it seems to me. Liam Fox thinks that, you know, it's going to cause people to, you know, go around shooting British soldiers or, you know, make everyone join the Taliban or something.
But, well, I was going to say, but it involved in piracy as well. it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's, you're right. It's totally down to parental control as to whether they let their kids play these games. My view is that they shouldn't. And maybe they need to be more stringent in... I mean, I don't know how you check it. There's no way, really, because it's done in the home. But, you know, realistically, kids shouldn't be playing those sort of games, is what I would say. But I think he's wrong to try and ban it on the grounds that he's trying to.
Yeah.
Or boycott it, anyway.
Well, and going back to what you said about, you know, kids playing it, I mean, I'm not a fan of the nanny state.
No.
So, I think as a society, we need to decide right now, do we think that parents are going to be responsible enough for their kids? Now, there's always going to be the case where there's some that aren't, but should that really ruin it for everyone? I mean...
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of responsible adults out there who realise that it's just a computer game and are going to play it just as a computer game.
Yeah.
I think... probably at this moment in time, there are far more important things the government be worried about than whether kids play a computer game or not.
No, yeah, exactly. I pretty much agree with that one. I wouldn't mind it, but he's been making out that it's British soldiers getting killed in the game.
Yeah.
It's not. I think that's a stupid technicality.
Well, yeah, he's
anyway.
Basically making a lie, isn't he? To suit his own needs. Because it's me, a politician, doing that. Who'd have thought it?
No, exactly. I mean, I'm just shocked and appalled. Just like Liam Fox. I'm going to move on to another story.
Cool.
I know you've read this one, so I'm sure you're going to have plenty to say about it. Well, I don't know. Lady...
I already know what it is.
You're so excited. You're so excited. Puts a cat in the bin.
Oh, brilliant. There's two issues with this, isn't there, really? First of all, the fact that you've got an incredibly sick individual. I'm not particularly a cat lover, John. You know that.
Sure.
But I can't understand the mentality of anyone who would do it. I just do not understand. I mean, the fact, because I've seen the video clip of it.
Yeah.
The fact that she sits there for a good minute or so petting the cat before she picks him up and unceremoniously dumps it in the bin. It's just, what a sick bitch. I can't think of anything else to say about that.
I mean, I remember watching it, and I watched it in work, and I knew what was going to happen, because obviously the headline, woman puts cat in the bin.
Yeah.
So I already knew it was going to have that shock value. So I got a couple of people over, I said, check this out, I can't believe this. And
I did exactly the same thing.
And we all sat there and watched it, and we just couldn't believe it. It was just, did she really do that? You know, it's not like the cat attacked her or something, and she was like, "Ah, oh, you bastard," and then chucked it in the bin. She stroked it and thought, "Ah, oh, what should I do with this lovely, cute, fluffy cat? I know, let me just dump it in this wheelie bin." So
I believe that her defence was that A, she thought it would be funny. And in a sick kind of way, actually it is, but, you know, that's another story. And B, she thought the cat would get out. And how exactly did you think a cat would get out when you've closed the lid?
Yeah, you know.
She might have been able to jump out otherwise, but once you close the lid, it's going to be a bit difficult, love.
To be fair, we don't know how much rubbish was in the bin. You know, it could have been, like, pretty much full.
I don't know, it seemed to me that the cat dropped quite a bit on the video footage.
Yeah. So, but then the follow-up to this, obviously, then is there's a lot of people upset with her, quite rightly, I think.
Yeah.
Standing outside her house, giving her a hard time.
Which, that's fine in itself. I can accept that. She should be given a hard time because the legal authorities can't do anything about it. So fine, get on a case. Absolutely love that. That's fine.
Can they not do anything about it? I thought the RSPCA was thinking about prosecuting.
No, they can't push any charges on it. But then you get to the ridiculous thing then, which is the second part, which I was talking about. If she's had death threats against her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not okay to hurt a cat, but suddenly it's okay to kill a human being.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, you terrible person, you know.
I'm going to kill you.
I'm
going to
kill you. But the parody was almost immediate as well. There was animations and videos of people dressed as cats dumping old women in bins. Apparently, Cat Bin Lady you can now follow her on Twitter. I don't think it's the actual lady who did it.
No, possibly not, possibly not.
And I just wanted to highlight, you know, it was almost quite sad actually that so many people could be motivated by a cat. You know, a cat it was terrible. They can be motivated to go and harass a woman over something like that, you know. They actually got off their sofas to go and do something like that.
But they can't be asked to go and vote.
Well, I was going to say, I agree with that as well. But I was going to say, you know, there's a bit of a crisis happening in Pakistan at the moment. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of people getting up off the sofa to go and do something about a massive humanitarian. You know, I mean, I'm not getting on a high horse or anything. You know, I just, you know, I give money to the Red Cross.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do something.
No, all I've had is a raft of sick jokes.
Yeah, and I've actually seen some very poor sentiments online as well. I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, why are we bothering to help people like that? They're just going to come and bomb us, the usual.
It is ridiculous, isn't it? Where's humanity, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, I always try and think the idea of the Western society is meant to be enlightened somehow.
Yeah.
And that we're meant to be, you know, somehow better than what I class primitive culture.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I suppose particularly the areas which have been affected, in particular being very rural areas of Pakistan. And
yeah.
I mean, those some of the more larger sort of places have been affected as well. But, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't understand the sentiments, actually. You know, there are people out there who are dying, who are suffering, and who need help. And, you know, the least we can do, really, is dip our hand in our pockets and give them a couple of quid.
No, exactly. So, if you haven't done that already, do it.
Absolutely. I have picked up a story, actually, because I did come rather underprepared for stories tonight, because I was... Well, I didn't find much interesting in the news personally this week, but I have found a story which I think is quite interesting. And I'm just wondering your take on it. Which is the story of Pont Saint-Esprit in France. 60 years ago, there was this French town which was hit by a sudden outbreak of hallucinations.
All right.
And people were put in straitjackets, locked up, and they eventually traced the outbreak to a fungus in the rye which they were using to make the bread.
Alright.
And it was basically causing hallucinogen, but new files have come to light this week which suggest that actually the CIA did it.
And oh, really?
Poisoned their bread with LSD.
Okay, so this was like part of like that project MKUltra or whatever it was called, because that was actually a real trial. But they were trialing LSD on soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But why would they need to do it to some French town?
The reason why this has come up now is because there's a document which has come out under the Freedom of Information Act in America, which basically, it's a CIA document which is labelled Re Pont Saint-Esprit and F. Olson files. SO Spars France operation file, and you know, blah blah blah, hand carry to Berlin, tell him to see that the files are buried. And F. Olson was a CIA scientist who, at the time of the Pont Saint-Esprit incident, was researching for the agency into LSD.
Right.
Which is why they're suggesting that it might be the CIA which did it. I mean, it seems awfully far fetched to me. I mean, it seems awfully random. I mean, you know, America's a big enough country that if you wanted to go and test plenty of towns in America, and there's obviously plenty of evidence of testing from the US military on
Personnel.
American people anyway. So, whilst I'd love to think that the CIA have gone LSD'd up a town in France, it seems somewhat far-fetched to me, but I mean, what do you think? You know, is it.
Okay, let me just think about this, right? Is it plausible? Now, I know that they tested on their own soldiers. Well, not just soldiers, I think they did do some civilians.
Well, they did all the nuclear testing on civilians, didn't they? They did quite a lot of radiation fallout testing
Yeah.
on civilian villages and towns
Yeah, but like the
without
civilians.
them knowing, which is why
Oh,
they've all been
without knowing.
sued.
I thought that a lot of the civilians knew about it.
They didn't know what they were testing, and they were
Ah.
putting like pregnant women in radiation, like top radioactive water and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, no, so there's been a lot of litigation, obviously, against the American government as a result of these sort of tests. So there's been some quite high-profile cases. So yeah, I wouldn't put it past the American government, but
But
why
why France?
France?
Yeah. Why that particular village? Why did they need to export their, maybe what they maybe they thought, oh, the American people, they're fed up with us testing, nuclear stuff on them and.
Maybe they just wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I don't know.
So yes, French.
Yeah, that's
Now
sort
I
of thing I
know
just
how
can't get
you
my head
feel
down to.
about the French, okay?
I feel sorry for these people actually, because
They went a bit nuts, did they?
they went a bit nuts. Yeah, I mean, this one guy who's now 87 says he's never experienced ever like anything like it again, and he said his words, "I'd prefer to die rather than go through that again." Obviously, it was pretty horrific. These are pretty nasty hallucinations.
So we had a bad trip then. Because I was thinking, we seem to cover drugs quite a bit, probably, because it's quite political at the moment. But I always thought, I mean, if I was ever going to try any drug at all, I'd probably give LSD a go. Because apparently it is trippy, and apparently there's not, the CIA did a lot of research on it,
Well, yeah.
and in small amounts, there doesn't seem to be any long-term health side effects.
Quite. I guess it's just you have a bad trip, isn't it? Because it's a psychosis, isn't it? That's the problem. You have a bad trip, and it can lead, and regular and frequent use can lead to paranoia and
Well, I
what
don't
have
know,
you.
regular. I just thought if I was going to give something a go
Just a
once.
one-off.
Yeah. I thought LSD. Because I couldn't snort anything. I just
No,
can't
it's
imagine
disgusting.
getting anything up your nose.
Apparently, MDMA is the way forward.
MDMA. What's that?
Yeah,
Sounds like
that's.
some kind of glue you can get.
No, MDMA is the chemical name for ecstasy, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
Because, or is it, yeah, I think that's what it is anyway. But yeah, apparently that. So I've been told, having never tried it myself.
No. And I don't like needles either, so heroin's out for me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get serious now.
Okay.
Now, hang on, first of all, I just want to get the pronunciation right on this, because I believe we call it albino, don't we?
We do,
The
albino.
Americans call it albino.
Quite.
Right,
What
okay.
do they know? It's our language. Although it's
Yeah.
probably not even an
They
English
haven't
word, is it?
contributed anything to it, have they, Steve?
No.
No.
Although actually, it's probably not even an English word, is it? It's probably a French word as well.
Yeah, it's always the case. The funniest thing, and this just to go like a funny story on the side, just to go and show, like the ignorance of some people when it comes to language.
Yeah.
We live in Wales, so we have a lot of things in Welsh, don't we?
Yes, we do.
A lot of road signs, a lot of public services and things.
Yeah.
It's you got English and then you got Welsh underneath.
Yes.
So. I remember we were, oh, I was quite young. I think I just left school, but I did Latin in school.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you get a foundation of a lot of European languages
Yes, you
from
do,
that.
yeah.
So I was sat in the car with my dad, and he's English, and I was born in Wales, so we always had this rivalry going on. And then just out of the blue, this ambulance pulls up, and at the front of the ambulance,
Ambulance.
it was ambulance, like the Welsh version with the
Yeah.
W's in it, right? So my dad goes, "Oh, see you Welsh, you're lame. You can't even get your own words. Look how you nicked ambulance, right?" And I just turned around to him and said, "Well, you're clever, aren't you? Because you nicked it from Latin, because it comes from the word ambulare, which means to walk, and it used to be on a battlefield,
Yeah.
they'd walk on with a stretcher and then walk you off." So yeah, so that was a nice little win for me,
Did you
and
feel nice and smug?
I did, yeah. But at the same time,
Did you
I
feel like
thought,
you were, battering back centuries of oppression?
Yeah, well, no, I felt a bit of a toff, if anything, because I said, because I basically said,
I
"Ha, my knowledge of
actually
Latin has owned you."
Latin.
So, sorry. So back to this story about this albino girl, okay, 11, was killed and beheaded in Swaziland for witchcraft. Okay, not that she was guilty of witchcraft, but there was a witch or a doctor, shaman or whatever you want
Witch
to call
doctor.
it, who they think albino bones and organs are imbued with some special power. So she was right in front of her friends, a masked man grabbed her, killed her, beheaded her, all to steal body parts for use in, some medicine, I guess, or something.
Wow.
So, I mean, I just looked at this and I went, what the hell,
That's absolutely horrific.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you, apart from that's horrific, do you have anything in particular, any feelings on it?
Well, no, it's just insane. What else can you say, really? It's absolute insanity. Yeah, there's nothing else I can really add to that other than just,
But that doctor guy, he might defend himself, saying, "Oh, I needed these body parts so I can, make some juju juice to help, help some sick people."
Yeah.
Well, I just wondered,
It's just
he
this.
might have a good reason for it.
Right, hang on, right, okay, so we're talking about a witch doctor making juju juice to heal people, and we're, disputing vitamin C as a valid
I just, you know,
healing
I just wanted to get your take on. No, I'm not actually going to defend him.
No,
He's
I know you're not
absolutely
going to defend him,
horrific.
because you can't defend him, it's indefensible.
But I just wanted to ask,
Well, no,
so.
it's just wrong, and I just think it shows, without sounding patronizing, but I just think it shows, how some of the primitive cultures, which are still existing in the world, need to be brought up into the current century, I mean, it's just not acceptable.
So you think witchcraft in general is just not very good then?
No, because it's different. This is different type of things. What we're talking about, this particular case here, where we're talking about somebody doing something, a very wrong act for something like this, is completely out of order, and that type of thing is different to say, what somebody else would consider witchcraft. I mean, witchcraft is a very broad term, which I think you're tarring a lot of people with the same brush there if you use that.
Well, it's he, you know.
He's a witch doctor. He's using it for some sort of shamanic, totemic spell or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, black magic, is it?
Black
Yeah, yeah.
magic.
So, I just thought. So, I just wanted your take on black magic then. Did you think it's generally a good thing, or do you think maybe it might be a bit of a
The
hindrance?
clue's in the name,
Yeah.
black magic. Goes back to our story a couple of weeks ago, isn't it? Buying magic potions on eBay. Same sort of thing, it's nonsense.
Okay.
Basically, this child has been killed for nonsense, for no reason,
No, I
which I
completely.
just find absolutely sick.
Okay, great. That's fair. I just wanted to get your opinion on it, but I mean, is it just your opinion, or would you say it's a bit stronger than that? Do you think that they're absolutely insane, these people?
I think if somebody can hurt another human being in that sort of way, in pursuit of some spell, then yeah, I think they're insane.
Yeah, technically, I my point is, if we're gonna, I was in a conversation on Facebook with somebody this week, and it was all to do with, respecting other cultures and other people's, ideas and things like, and beliefs and things like that. And so.
I respect other people's beliefs and I respect other people's ideas. I don't respect them when they cause harm to other people.
Yeah, so you respect witchcraft then?
I would respect someone's right to practice their own religion. What I wouldn't respect, and don't respect, and I think it's horrendous, is I don't support any such thing where they would cause harm to another human being deliberately.
All right, so it's all to do with consequences then. So if something is harmful,
Yeah, look, you know, I've got no problem with people believing what they want to believe. I've said that before. I'll say it again.
Well, I agree with that sentiment.
You know, I've got no issue with that at all. I just have an issue with it when it directly and negatively hurts, harms, be it emotionally or physically, somebody else.
Okay. Well, then this, yeah, so we agree on that. I think people should be able to believe whatever they want. I'm a big fan of free thought. But, and I agree with you again, if it hurts other people physically, you know, or even mentally, then, but I think, but what the argument that's put to me was that if it's, you know, if it's somebody's heartfelt belief, then we shouldn't say anything about it, even though it's harmful.
No, we should say something about it. You know, if it's harmful, then absolutely it should be condemned.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, I
I thought it's kind of
don't pussyfoot
obvious.
around it. You know, if someone is preaching something, you know, which is clearly wrong and deliberately hurtful, then yeah, you've got to speak out against it. You know, it's like the Enoch Powell River of Blood speeches. You know, nonsense. You know, absolute nonsense. Absolutely right for people to speak out against them. It's like these EDL idiots. You know, it's absolutely right for people to speak out what they're preaching about, because what they're preaching is nonsense, it's hatred, and it's vile. So absolutely, you have to, you know, we should be speaking out against these sort of things.
Okay, so speaking out against nonsense is good.
Yes.
Right, okay, that's fine. No. That's fine.
See, I always think you're leading me somewhere, you see.
No. I just, you know, it's just you, I can
I
always
expect
give.
you to come back with a yeah, but
Yeah, the thing is, Steve, I know I can, I don't have to give you a lot of rope to hang yourself. No, it's just, you know, it was mostly about what this conversation I had, this to and fro on Facebook. But also last week you did say that I had my opinion, and so, you know, do you remember that about, because I thought that the guy who saw Allah in everything, I said that that was nonsense.
Which is fine for you to say it. I wouldn't
Yeah.
say not to say it, but it's his belief, and he's not harming anyone with it, is he?
Well, just because no one's been harmed yet.
Well, no, he's not harming anyone with it. He's not going around killing anyone, slicing them up to get access to their brains and other organs so they can make magic juju spells with them. You know, he is just merely expressing a personal belief.
His opinion, yeah, his worldview, as I like to look at, you know,
Yeah, which is absolutely fine, you know, just as you're entitled then to your opinion to debunk that.
kind of hard to debunk metaphysics, though, don't you think?
I don't know, you used a big word there, which I don't understand.
Welcome to another highbrow production. Okay. Yeah, so we agree they're a bunch of Muppets, and I will go so far as to say it's not just my opinion; it is a fact that
Yeah, and
people.
I would quite happily voice the same
Yeah.
sentiments.
Are you on another story?
No, I've got one which I'm going to save for. It's a lighter story, which I'm going to save
Oh,
for a
we'll
little bit
save it for the
later.
end then. Okay. Well, if we want to upset ourselves some more. Okay. Ah, right. This. I think we'll just agree on this one, but we'll do it anyway, just because, you know, our opinion will be out there. Catholic charity.
Oh,
Okay.
okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know
I know
this.
where you're going with this, won't you?
Yeah, Catholic charities appeal over gay adoption fails. Okay, so basically, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, they do some good work. Okay,
Yep.
with, you know, there's orphan kids out there who need a home. Okay, and they want to find a family for that kid. I think that sentiment is great, you know, and for them to want to do that is good also. However, it seems that they're being picky about who they're giving the kids to. And so what they're saying is that because they don't believe that because they think homosexuality is not a good thing, or it's a sin, however you want to call it, homosexual people shouldn't be able to adopt, or at least they're not going to, you know,
Give up their kids for adoption to
yeah.
homosexual couples.
So I before I even say what I think about that, well, I think you already know what I'm gonna say, but I just wanted your take on it. Are you just gonna agree with me, or do you think, are you gonna say something?
The most important thing for a child in those circumstances is that they go to a loving home where they'll be looked after and treated well and brought up in a loving environment. Now, frankly, I don't care if that's Adam and Steve or Joe Bloggs' straight couple. I really don't care. It's all about the child, and that's what the consideration has to be, really.
Okay, that's fine. And it's there's other parallels with this as well. Situations where people's what they believe kind of gets in the way of we all have it. We all have a way of looking at things, and then we see something, and there's a conflict.
Yep.
Okay, and it's and I think what's important is how we resolve these conflicts, and so we kind of have what I'd call like a kind of like human rights. Okay, we all have human rights, but some of them they're going to come into conflict, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, and like this is one of them. So everybody is free to believe whatever they want. Okay. But obviously that's going to come into conflict with someone else's human rights to, to have equality,
Yeah.
which in this case it's homosexual couples. So do you you're probably going to just say yes, is do you believe obviously that the ideal of every person is equal trumps individual beliefs like that?
It's a difficult one. I think it is really difficult because I don't think it's as black and white as that.
Oh no, I'm not saying it is.
In this case, yes. I do think that, it does, but
Can you
it's
think of a
just
case where it wouldn't be?
I don't know. I couldn't think of one off the top of my head. For me, as I said, it's not about equality for the parents. That's not the issue in these cases for me. It's not about whether the parents have equality. It's about the children. It is literally about
No, it is for you.
but then that's my opinion. So for me, it's not a matter of equality. It's a matter of we want children who need to go into adoption for whatever reason or foster care to go into a loving home and a loving environment because that's absolutely paramount.
Right. But what I'm saying is the Catholic Church is saying that they don't agree with you. They don't
Yeah,
think
and I
that the
disagree with
children,
them.
right?
I think they're wrong in what they're saying.
Okay. But
I
do you not think
absolutely.
it's because I look at it, well, actually, yeah, we look at this differently. You just think they're wrong, and so you're happy with the way the law's gone.
Yeah.
I'm happy because I believe that they've got something fundamental the right way round. You know, if for instance, say I don't like French people. Okay, let's use that as an example, right? Say I don't like French people.
Don't you?
Okay, now people might think I'm a bit of a prat and a bit of a bigot for it, say. But I think, if I don't like French people, I'm allowed to hold that view, okay? But I can't think of any circumstances where that should be able to trump someone else's rights in society. You know,
No, neither
that's
can
like me
I.
saying, oh, I don't think French people should be able to
No,
adopt
no,
or
no,
something like
no,
that,
no,
you know?
neither can I. But what I wouldn't want to do is speak in definitive black and white terms, 'cause I don't think you can when it comes to, these sort of things. Because then, like for instance, we disagree on this, I think. It's slightly on the same topic, slightly different. So for instance, if you remember right back, I'm not sure if we discussed it on the podcast, we may have discussed it separately, where you had that couple who ran a guest house who refused to let a gay couple stay there.
Yeah.
Now, my thought would be, whilst I disagree with the sentiment, they have a right to refuse admission to whoever they want. So if they don't want to, allow a gay couple to stay in there, that's their right. Now, in that particular case, they should, I totally agree that they should have at least let the people know before they arrived rather than turning away on the door. But they were within their rights to do it. So,
Well,
so for me there, that's a grey area,
yeah, I think you're probably
if
going
you
to
can see where
fall
I'm coming
down on
from.
that, depending on how it's going to be down to your worldview, whether you think that what they did was right or not. I looked at that in terms of, first of all, your rights are based in law, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing was, from a legal point of view, they had to put the couple up, I think, as it worked out in the end, but
Yeah, because the idea is we say things like, right. It's down to equality again, right? You're not allowed to discriminate unfairly. I don't like to just say the word discriminate because there are some things that you should discriminate, such as stupid stuff. You discriminate against stupid stuff because it's stupid. But sorry, unfairly discriminate based on religion, sexuality,
yeah, absolutely. But for me,
gender.
See, in that case, for me,
yeah,
then those people were being discriminated against on religious grounds, because they made a decision based upon their religion, not to let the gay couple sit. You know, it's, like I said, the rights and wrongs of that particular case. You know, yes, they, I think they should have made it quite clear to the gay couple before they arrived that they didn't want to have gay people.
Yeah, but
in
but
their
you just
hotel.
Hit the nail on the head, because we just, yeah, that was it. It was the rights of the gay people to be treated equally as everybody else, against the rights, as you just said, of people to have their religious beliefs. And they came into conflict. And so that's what I'm saying is, when things come into conflict, we need to say what is going to take precedence.
Yeah, and as I said, I don't think you necessarily can.
Because,
you know, you could quite easily argue that actually their religious belief has to, even 30 years ago, their religious belief would have taken precedence.
Right, so what
you know,
if...
It's because of the time in which we're living. Now, you know, well, even 20 years ago, even, their right to refuse admission would have been their right.
But what I'm saying is, it's been put into law because I think that they've decided that people's right to equality...
But why is a gay couple more equal than a religious belief?
Because, and I tell you, well, I would frame it as, if you're gay, you're gay. You can't choose not to be gay. You can choose your religion. And how that religion manifests, I know loads of great Christians, but you hear about the terrible ones all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't disagree with you there.
So, but I can see what you mean. But what I'm saying is, yeah, people are entitled to their beliefs, and people are entitled to be equal. But we need to, we need to decide which one trumps which one, because they always come into conflict.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think that I talk of which one trumps the other one. I don't know. I just think it's a massive grey area. I don't think that you can.
But then, I remember we talked about this. I remember where we were, because we were watching the Reith lecture. That's where we were talking about this.
That's right.
Yeah. What if that religious couple had said, "We're not going to admit you because you're black"?
Yeah. Again, for me, I'm absolutely on the side of the gay couple in this particular case. But I also think that they have a right to exercise their religious belief. Yeah? And I can't think of a religious belief which actually promotes racism.
Yeah, okay. But that's all down to interpretation.
Yeah.
But hang on, but you said earlier you think everyone's entitled to their beliefs unless it harms somebody else. Now,
yes,
it is discriminating against somebody is harm, isn't it?
But then, yeah, but then, you see, you're just seeing it from the gay couple's point of view. What about from the couple who run the bed and breakfast?
Right.
Isn't it harmful to them because it's actually going against what they fundamentally believe?
Well, if you fundamentally believe that not all people are equal, and that you should be able to discriminate against people, I don't think the hospitality industry is where you should be working. And the British law agrees with me on that one.
Well, it does, but I also, how many times have you seen signs places which say the management refuses right to admission?
Right, and you can justify that based on consequences, can't you? We don't want to let in people who come in and break stuff.
Yeah, which is fair enough. But like I said, for me, I just think that's a real grey area, because I just think, yes, we can all, and like I said, I make it perfectly clear, in this particular case, the gay couple, I think we're absolutely hard done by. But I think it's all very easy for us to sit here and say, yeah, the gay couple were hard done by, they were the victims. But you've got to consider the thoughts and the feelings, because that's quite harmful to the proprietors of that business as well, because they're having to go against something which they fundamentally believe.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, I'd defend the religious couple if they went somewhere and somebody said, well, we don't want no Christians here. I would defend them in that case. I would say that they've been discriminated unfairly against based on their religion.
Yeah, well, which would be right, but in this particular case, as it is, you know, I just think, and going back to the issue of the adoption, I suppose,
I think we agree. Basically, people who discriminate against other people I don't think that they're very,
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I just think, where do you, where's the, where do you draw the line? Where's the grey area in it?
Well, we should make this a regular feature on the podcast. I want to call it Dumb Stuff Happening in America. I don't know, it doesn't sound too catchy. You may want to, I don't know, come up with something better.
No, that sounds fine to me.
Unfortunately, in the States, everybody was really happy when President Obama came into power, and he promised, and well, he followed out on his promise to reverse the decision on stem cell research that Bush, in his crazy world, brought in, thinking he was saving babies or something. I don't know how he saw it. Unfortunately, stem cell research has now been blocked by some law which they've now found. It's been dug up, saying that, destruction of embryos is not a good thing. So this is kind of putting a dampener on scientific research in America. Well, not a lot I can say about that, apart from, again, this just seems one thing after another, blocking progress.
Well, that's just the religious right in America, isn't it? Again, just wanting to take us back to the Dark Ages, I guess, really.
I don't. I'm not. I'm gonna actually go. Well, I don't think it is just necessarily the religious right. I do believe that there is another large population of people that just don't agree ethically with it, just purely on ethical grounds. But it's funny how people can take ethical positions without actually really, looking into what ethics is all about, really.
Yeah, I think as far as new medical technology and advancement goes, stem cell research is absolutely vital to that. Stem cell research is the type of research which is gonna, find the cure to cancer, Alzheimer's and such things. It's absolutely vital for us as a race.
Continue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because in the news this week also, there's another story about how antibiotics are now becoming less and less effective due to resistant strains. And a lot of people would remember this for things like MRSA and all these superbugs. But it is, it's worrying all of the scientists now that a lot of the funding for vaccinations and antibiotics has decreased. They discovered these branches of chemicals which were very good at dealing with bacterial infections, and some really potent, very effective. It's like they discovered penicillin again. It was groundbreaking. But nothing's been, it's just been this slow tick over. Nothing's been done, and now we're getting to the case where.
The thing is, yes, I wholeheartedly believe the government should be funding such things, but I also believe it's the responsibility of pharmaceutical companies to also invest in these things. At the end of the day, they're making massive profits on the back of people worldwide.
Yeah.
And we are talking massive profits. It's not going to hurt them to shift some of their funds
No.
into this sort of research.
So you think that they have an ethical
I think they've got an
responsibility?
ethical and moral responsibility
Yeah.
to research and to, very seriously, look into those things.
The problem is, though, and I understand it to be the case of, I mean, the drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, yeah, if there was like a major outbreak of some skin-eating bacteria that was killing, large numbers of people, they'd be all for developing a new drug for it. But the problem is it's short-sightedness. They're not doing it now. They're not.
We're not proactive about it, are they?
No, they're, but.
And that's what I mean, it's down to I think, yes, the government should be funding it, but I also think the pharmaceutical company should be funding it as well.
And they should be a bit more proactive. They should be looking ahead, developing new antibiotics that they know work, and then they can hold them back if they want
Until they're necessary, yeah,
until they're necessary. But
absolutely.
all of the serious antibiotics we've got, they are starting to get useless. There's more and more resistant strains, and with a world population that's so large, you will see outbreaks will get magnified.
Yeah. Maybe we should treat them with vitamin C.
Yeah. Why don't we, we could do that. We could get some oranges and, give them to, people with flesh-eating bacteria saying, "Here, have an
Rub this
orange."
in.
For some reason, I do think they'll be screaming for an injection rather than an orange. So, cool. You got a little story to lighten us
have
up.
got a little story. It's nothing to really rant about, but it's just something which amused me really, and I think it fits in quite nicely with the Dumb America segment as well, really. Ohio strippers stage picket outside church services. And this is basically a story that there's the strip club in Ohio, which a church has been demonstrating outside for months, saying how sinful and how wrong it was. So they've decided to reverse it,
Right.
and so you've got the bikini-clad strippers with their placards outside the church protesting, which I just think is brilliant, to be honest with
So
you.
what are they protesting?
Well, they're just saying that, they've got a right to take their clothes off for money if they want to. And, it
Oh, but they
doesn't
weren't
make
protesting
it
against the
does no,
church,
it
though.
just doesn't make them any less loved by God. For example, one of the signs which the strippers were holding up were Jesus loves the children of the world, and citing other Bible verses in that as well. In fact, the foxhole stripper, Laura Meesk, says, "Everybody sinned, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to get into heaven. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe what they preach. They preach hate."
Wow, yeah, so
So, I just it just amused me really. Just that this, we see about all these sort of religious protests in America, the Phelps crew and all that,
I tell you what, I reckon we could do an entire
Oh, we
podcast
could
on
do
the
an entire
Phelps.
podcast on the Phelps because they're just sick individuals. But it just it, it I think it's kind of nice to see the strippers fighting back, to be honest with you. But apparently, the confrontations between the two camps have been reportedly largely friendly,
I wonder why.
with Mr. Dunphy, who's like the church minister, and congregants greeting and chatting to the strippers outside the church. It's quite nice, really. It's quite a pleasant protest.
You see, I really, really like that story, Steve. I would have just preferred it to be a little bit more highbrow. Like, I would have liked to have seen something like, the strippers there, but the messages on the placard's been a bit more, bit more cut and thrust. Something like, I don't know, like original sin is immoral or something like that, fighting back, tit for tat, rather than just saying we have a right to protest, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Unfortunately, I mean, there is a picture of the girls holding up their placards on the BBC website.
Oh, so this is why you like the story.
No, not really. I can't zoom in on the placards to actually see what they're saying, unfortunately. It loses resolution the further in I go,
Nope. So we'll never know.
so maybe they are saying that in their placards. I don't
That
know.
would have been so cool if they had. You're immoral because you strip. You're immoral because you believe in something that is just immoral.
Yeah,
Awesome.
there we go.
Well, this has been a good week,
Yeah.
considering you've been a bit preoccupied with your diet.
Yeah, look, okay, I'm going to apologize to people, from the start. You've had to put up with my heavy breathing, for weeks now. You've also got to put up with my stomach grumbling as well.
Okay, another week over and done with. Catch you later.
Goodbye.
Isn't true.